Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, I have with me Chad DePlantis, my dentist. He's done a lot of dental work for me, and you're probably saying to yourself, why are we having a dentist? Well, for two reasons. Number one, the wolf is still on his honeymoon right now. And so I thought, as much work as he's tried to give me when he's out there on his honeymoon, it's almost like dental work, right? I mean, nobody likes going to the dentist, but of any dentist that I've ever met in my life, Dr. DePlantis, I mean, you've done really well with that. So thanks for joining me today.
Man, thanks for being here. It's an honor. I'm pretty excited to be on The Wolf and the Shepherd.
Yeah.
So
let's walk through just a little bit of your background. Like, you know, what got you into dentistry and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so it goes way back to high school, and I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. I'm 47, so I've been doing this. I think we're about the same age. You're a little bit younger than me.
Yeah, a little bit younger.
Just a little bit, but enough.
But you are younger than the wolf.
Okay, good. So I'm younger than somebody. Because I just turned 47. It's been a rough, you know, you get to 40 and you're like, maybe I'm halfway there. You get to 47, you know you're more than halfway there.
Right.
I mean, if I had lived to 94, that's freaking awesome, but it's not going to happen.
There you go. Yeah.
So going back, high school, I knew I wanted to do something in the medical profession, but I had no idea what I wanted to do. So thought about becoming a psychiatrist, realized that that really wasn't in my wheelhouse for a number of reasons. So I took this class in high school, and we got to rotate through a bunch of medical offices, hospitals and whatnot. And I was like, hey, can I go through a dental office? And they're like, yeah, sure. So they put me up with this lady who I still keep in touch with to this day. And I went to her office, and she was very happy with what she did. She only worked 4 days a week, which was a huge bonus. She came to work happy. She left happy. And I was like, I think I could probably do that. Besides, I liked art. You get to be a little bit artistic. And, you know, I still got to dabble a little bit in medicine. So it was kind of the best of both worlds. I'm a people person, at least I think I am, and get to have conversations with people all day long. And just kind of that's where it led. So went to college, went to dental school, became a dentist.
Nice. So, you know, you get out of dental school, right?
Yeah.
And now you get what, a doctor of dentistry degree?
Of dental surgery.
Yep. Okay, doctor of dental surgery.
Yep.
And now you want to go out there and you want to be a dentist. So how do you become that dentist? How do you hang the shingle out there and say, now I'm a dentist?
That's a really long answer to a very short question, because it's changed a lot. So what a lot of people don't know is that the majority of dental practices that you drive by on a daily basis are owned by probably a dentist somewhere on the board, but a lot of them are owned by corporations. So the days of private practice are, I hate to say this, they're kind of dwindling. And I'm fortunate that I am in a private practice, but basically you go out of dental school and it's like you're looking for a house. You hire a practice broker. And that practice broker can get you on to go work with somebody, or they can get you on to buy your own dental practice. And so it's kind of a real estate transaction. And that's what I went through. I went through a practice broker. I started off working for somebody. And then 3 years later, I bought into a dental practice. And that's where I'm at right now.
So nowadays, though, doesn't work that way. I mean, you're literally going in there and you're saying, hey, Dr. Jones, who has been this dentist forever, now you're going to kind of buy in behind him, almost like a law firm,
right?
Where it's like now you have this law firm and there's this lawyer that has his name on the wall, and now you're the lawyer kind of behind him. And that's where it's getting at with dentistry.
Actually, that's kind of the way it's been with dentistry. But what we're getting at is, a lot of the owners of these dental practices are in high-rise buildings now. And so nowadays, when you come out of dental school, fewer and fewer people are going into the situation that, you talked about, which is basically what I did. I bought into Dr. Kirkham's practice. I became a partner in his practice. But nowadays, a lot of dentists are coming out of dental school. They have so much debt. And so they're going in and they're becoming an employee of a corporate chain. And they work as a dentist, but they work under that corporate umbrella.
Okay. So almost like it, like you say, debt, you're talking about student loan debt, right?
Yeah. I mean, university in New York University, students are graduating with close to $700,000 in dental school debt.
$700,000 to becoming a dentist.
Yeah.
So what does it look like as far as the education part? Not taking into account the money.
Yes. Yeah,
so, but as far as the learning aspect.
Yeah. So 4 years of college. Get an undergraduate degree, and then 4 years of dental school, and then if you so desire, which I did a residency for a year. You don't have to. So you can go through your 4 years of college, 4 years of dental school, and you can go hang a shingle or go work for somebody. Or if you want to specialize, there's several ADA-recognized specialties. So there's periodontists, oral surgeons, endodontists, prosthodontists, community health specialists, orthodontists, if I didn't already say that. And endodontist, if I didn't say that, I can't remember, but I probably didn't get to all of them. But there's several specialties that you can go into. Those are sometimes 2 to 3, up to 6 year programs. And then I did what's called an advanced education in general dentistry, which is entirely optional. But I was 24 years old, man. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I wanted another year of experience under my belt, try and do some more difficult cases. So that's entirely optional.
So you go to Dr. Kirkham,
yep.
Right? And you say, hey, you know, I want to be a dentist.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of hang out with you and so I can, you know, be a dentist and do all that. How's that work?
Yeah. So basically, I was the practice broker had called me. I was looking for opportunities. I had looked at probably on the short side, about 40 practices over a 3 year period.
I mean, to interrupt, but you looked at 40 different practices.
Yeah. Some, I just actually looked at the numbers and some I looked at, and you know, you kind of get a feel because you know where you want to be. I mean, you and I both live in the same area, so I kind of wanted to be in this general area, but I looked at practices all over the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Sometimes it just took looking at a sheet of paper, looking at the numbers that they did, looking at the location and saying, nope, that's not for me. Physically, I probably walked into 15 to 20 different dental practices. And, you know, you're hoping like when you're buying a house that you walk in and you get the right feel. Backing up, you didn't ask this, but I'll tell you how it worked for Dr. Kirkham and I. I was ready to move on. I had looked at a ton of practices, but I was just like, I'm just going to go hang a shingle somewhere. I looked at some lease space. I'm like, I'm just going to go put Chad Duplantis DDS on the wall, walk in, open up a practice. And so it was like midday on a Thursday and a practice broker calls me and says, hey, I got a practice for you to look at. And I said, I already decided I'm going to hang a shingle. That's what I'm going to do. And he says, no, you got to look at this practice. I said, all right, where is it? It's over here. What is it doing per year? It's doing this. I said, okay, I tell you what, I'll go look, but I'm looking. That's it. I don't have any interest in moving on. I don't want to work for somebody. I'm going to walk in with a list of things that I want. I was kind of beaten down from looking. He was kind of beaten down at looking at potential partners. I showed up late, which I'm never late. I got caught by, as you know, living here, 2 trains on the way over there.
Oh, so, and traffic.
Yeah, 2 trains and traffic. So I get over there, I pull in, supposed to be there at 1. I'm there at 1:15, walk in, just kind of just beaten down. Introduce myself. He says, what do you want? I said, I want this, 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 and this. And he says, all right, man, I think that's a good idea. I want this, 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 and this. We ended up, finally, the practice broker at about 4:30, so 3 hours into it, says, hey, guys, I got dinner with my wife. Y'all can stay as late as you want, but I got to go. Stayed for another 3 hours. We kind of developed a plan, and it just worked out. So it was kind of meant to be, I guess, the way that whole situation worked out. They don't always work that way, but, it, you know, once again, going back to the house analogy, you walk into a house, you get a good feeling or a bad feeling. And I walked into that house and I got a really good feeling and it turned out and it's worked. And so here I am 18 years later, still working at the same place, 50% partner. It's been a great situation.
Yeah. I mean, that was my next question. How long ago was that? So 18 years, I mean, you're still there. So obviously you made the right decision there.
I think so, you know, and a lot of partnerships in dentistry just flat out don't work out. People have different visions. And, you know, it's, you know, another analogy our partnership is like a marriage, you know, and we're not exactly alike, but we give and take, and that's just what's made it work. And so we have a fairly easygoing relationship. I'm a little bit more uptight on the business side of it than he is, and he's a little bit more uptight on certain practice semantics than I am, and it just kind of, it's ebb and flow. It works out.
So why is it that so many people in the medical field, dentistry or optometry or, you know, regular MDs or whatever, why are there always these partnerships? Why is it when you go to a doctor's office, it's like the doctor of, you know, the following like six doctors and there's 900 people that work there. It's like, why do you never just walk into one dentist's office with, you know, one girl behind the counter taking care of all the important stuff, and you have one dental hygienist? Why is that?
Well, medicine and dentistry are a little bit different. So, you know, from the medical aspect, it's unfortunate, but the majority of medicine these days is insurance driven. And so, you know, doctors' salaries, everybody thinks that doctors are just loaded, and that's the best sound in the world, by the way.
Yeah.
Doctors.
Well, and here's the good news. So it's just me and you, and we got the deal. So at any time, I might go over to the fridge and get another beer.
Yeah, but everybody else should as well. But
absolutely. But, and we're actually, I have a question about that, but continue. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody that... in the medicine, it's driven by insurance. And so everybody thinks that doctors are really wealthy, and that might have been the case, but nowadays it's harder and harder for doctors to turn a buck. The overhead is so expensive.
Hang on, because outside here, you've got your limo driver kind of, you know, staring in the window.
Yeah, that's true. That's
that's false.
My limo driver is out there. That's a whole other story in itself. Yeah. Took me a second, but basically, their expenses are so astronomical. And so, you know, in order to offset the expenses, that's one reason. Another reason is that the volume of patients that they have to see in order to make a decent living is crazy, because, you know, you may go to a doctor's office and get charged $1,000 for a procedure. And then if you look at the EOB, that procedure was cut to $300. And then, you know, your portion's this, their portion's that. So they have a lot of insurance paperwork that they have to take care of on the back end. So for a number of reasons, doctors work that way. So there will be a group practice of doctors. Nowadays with dentists, if you see a group practice of dentists, a lot of times it's corporate. But there are still the single shingle dental offices. I mean, they're out there. But they are fewer and farther between. And I think it's just to offset expenses. For us, I mean, I'm a big believer in two sets of eyes are better than one. And so it's nice to bounce ideas off of each other. Of course, we share overhead, we share expenses of the practice, we share a team. We're able to have a much larger team than we would if we were one person. And the other thing is that if I'm out of the practice, he covers for me and I cover for him. Whereas if I was hanging a shingle, you know, I got to find somebody to cover for me on the weekends, and that happens every now and then. But, you know, it's definitely beneficial to be with other people.
Yeah, you mentioned the term EOB.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah, so your EOB is your explanation of benefits. So if you ever go to a doctor or a dentist, basically you'll get charged an amount, and then in the mail you will receive a sheet of paper from the insurance company that is your explanation of benefits, which breaks down the cost that they charged, the cost that the insurance allowed, what their portion is, and what your portion is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of people get frustrated with things like that.
Yeah.
Right? They're saying, well, I want to go to the dentist and I want to get a cleaning, or right, I want to get a filling, or, right, whatever it might be. And they get so confused because they call you, right? Yep. And you say, okay, well, you know, to fill this tooth is $100,
right,
but then they call the next guy and then it's $150. It's like, well, wait, are we really doing this like it's a Honda versus a Cadillac? Like, why is your filling better than somebody else's filling?
And, you know, that's a really good question. I don't know that it's necessarily that my filling is going to be better than anybody else's, but if you look at my fees, they're not the lowest, but they're also not the highest. but we charge a fair fee because we don't have to rush patients in and out of the office. It's not like you're seeing a ton of patients and we have quotas to meet. We're able to take that individual time with that patient. And you know, so, you know, we use the best materials. I mean, we thoroughly research all the materials that we use. And you know, there are costs associated with it. So if you go somewhere that's less expensive, you know, you kind of want to watch how much time the doctor's spending with you. You want to watch how they're running people in and out of the office. There's no price fixing in dentistry. I mean, that's for sure. But, you know, everybody kind of knows what everybody's charging. You try and stay in line. I never want to be the most expensive, and I never want to be the least expensive, but I want to charge a fair fee for the services that we provide.
Well, so, yeah, I mean...
So everybody's going to be... It may be a dollar, but everybody's going to be different. I mean, I looked at two treatment plans from two other offices today, and I was like, in order to keep the lights on and keep my team happy, I'm not going to be able to go down to these fees. I mean, that's just it. You know, my fees are going to be higher than this. And I told the patient that, and they said, I get that. That's fine. You know, I mean, just you know, kind of hopefully I get the same feeling when I come in to get the work done that I did when I came in here today to meet you. So
yeah, and we've talked on the podcast before about, you know, the medical field, and, you know, one of my little speeches was, you got to trust doctors.
100%.
You know, I don't know that much about teeth. I don't know that much about medicine.
Yeah.
Y'all are the experts, right? So when you tell me this is what's got to happen, I have to trust you, yeah, right? And so a lot of people look at that, but then at the same time, they say, kind of like you said, you don't want to be the cheapest. You don't want to be the most expensive. But then when it comes to your person, right, you want the best.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people kind of look at that and say, well, obviously, this is my life. You know, this is how I'm going to walk through life. I have to have the best. But with dentistry, it's kind of a little bizarre, right?
Yeah.
When you look at health insurance, right? Dentistry or the dental portion is always kind of that afterthought. Yeah. You know, you have the DMO versus the HMO. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I want the best health insurance out there. And then, dentistry, I'll take the cheap plan. And then next thing you know, you have a tooth problem.
Yep.
And you go to somebody like you and you're like, well, this plan doesn't cover that. I mean, how do you approach people that, you know, honestly, like me, would say, well, this isn't that important. And then all of a sudden, now it's really important. What do you tell them?
You know, it's interesting. And you said a bunch of things that really make a lot of sense, but trust is just so big. But let's look at dental insurance real quick since you brought this topic up, and I'll just share with you. You know that the majority, I'm not going to say the average, but the majority of the patients that come through my office, they have a set amount of dental insurance that they can spend per year. Do you know what that amount is?
Probably $1,000.
$1,500 is probably the most common that I see. I see some at $500, some at $1,000, some at $1,500, some at $2,000. I've seen some that are higher, but let's face it, majority of what I see is $1,500 a year. I can pretty much tell you if somebody comes in, they've got dental insurance, they're going to have $1,500 a year. Do you know what it was back in the 70s?
$500.
$1,500 a year.
Wow. Okay.
So the point is,
and you could buy a very nice used car in the 70s for $1,500.
Right. So the point is that your annual maximums haven't gone up in 40, almost 50 years. However, the cost of dentistry has gone up in 40 to 50 years. But you've also got to break down what you're paying in dental insurance versus what you're paying in medical insurance. So like, I don't even know. I wish I could, but I a family may pay $75, $80 a month for their dental insurance benefits. They get $1,500 a year. And so I always think of dental insurance as almost like a discount. So like you come in and you need your cleanings.
A coupon.
Yeah, a coupon.
It's a coupon.
As your co-host would say, a coupon. But yeah, so it's like, you know, you come in, it's going to cover your cleanings. I mean, those, but those come out of your $1,500. So that's the hardest thing, is educating patients on what dental insurance is. And when you explain it like that, I've seen a lot of people that just say, well, screw this, I don't want the dental insurance anymore, I'm going to sign up for something else. You know, and so we've started offering what we call a smile plan in our office, which covers their two cleanings, all their x-rays that they need, and then they get a discount off of any other dental work. But I can't do that for people that are insured. So I know this is kind of a buzzword in today's society, but I'm finding more and more millennials that are saying, they're doing the math and like, well, all I really need is cleanings. I may need a filling or two or a crown once every few years. I'm going to sign up for the plan here because it's, you know, a couple hundred bucks a year, which is less than I'm paying in dental insurance premiums. It covers both of my cleanings, covers my radiographs. I don't have to deal with dental insurance, and I have to deal with dental insurance paying for this, not paying for this. You know, people, a lot of people don't grasp really what dental insurance is and what it does. And the other thing is like, let's say you have a dental insurance that's a PPO. A PPO means preferred provider. So it's not like medicine. Not every dentist is part of the preferred provider plan. So you go in and it says they pay 100% of cleanings. Well, they pay 100% of the usual and customary allotted amount for a cleaning, which I don't know as the dentist. They'll tell the patient, but 9 times out of 10, they won't tell me what it is. So we charge what's a fair fee for the cleaning. And some companies, their usual and customary fee for a cleaning and x-rays, maybe $65. Usually, you know, that's like $250 at the dentist office, cleaning, x-rays, exam. So they'll pay 100% of $65 and the rest is on the patient unless they went to a preferred provider. And so if you think, you know, it cost me quite a bit of money to have that patient in the chair, you know, it's just, it's not cost effective. I'd have to run a lot of people on if I assigned to a lot of those networks. We could get into this rabbit hole on this, but it's just, it's very hard to understand, but I have a great team that's good at educating our patients on the cost and associated with it, what their insurance is going to pay. And we file what we call a predetermination of benefits. If a patient is told they need something, we'll file it, find out exactly what they'll pay so the patient knows exactly what they owe. But let's say you have a $4,000 treatment plan and you need all this work done. Insurance is going to pay $1,500. They're going to pay $1,500 this year and $1,500 the next year. Sometimes you can split it up and sometimes their teeth are hurting and you got to do it. So it's a coupon.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you're trying to kind of get at is, I don't think anybody, no matter where they're at in their life, wants to feel like they're on an assembly line.
No, no.
You know, they don't want to feel like, okay, I've got to be here, you know, at X time, I'm going to have my 10 minutes in the chair, and then I'm out.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to talk to the doc for 3 minutes, and then they say, well, I have another question. So, nope, sorry. Yeah. You've exceeded your allotment of the time that, you know, your insurance or whatever is going to pay for you. Absolutely. To talk to me. And that's frustrating. But just like anything else, they don't want to pay for it up front.
No.
Right. And until they actually need it.
Well,
that's when it hits them.
Exactly.
That's when it sucks.
And you know, and we've gotten into a insurance mindset, and I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, I've got medical insurance and I get it, but dentistry is completely different than medicine. And we've got to separate those two and realize dental offices can't and cannot operate like medical offices because we don't have patients as far as insurance is concerned, because do you get $1,500 a year on medical? I mean, if you got $1,500 a year on medical, a lot of people out there would be pretty screwed.
Yeah, but so yeah. So why does it operate so much differently? I mean, you know, and I don't want to go off in the weeds with eyes, right? Because, you know, you have optometry. So let's forget about that. But you have medical insurance, you have dental insurance, and you keep saying it operates differently. Why is it different?
There's just a lot more governance on the not from the government, but from the insurance companies, there's a lot more of, well, we'll pay for this, well, we'll pay for that, but we won't pay for this, and we won't pay for that. And so there's a really finite set of rules that it's somewhat the same in medicine. There's certain things they'll pay for, certain things they won't, certain things they have to get approved, certain things that don't. But, I mean, you know, like I'll have a patient comes in and one of the most commonly declined items is a night guard. So we have a lot of patients that come in with excruciating jaw pain and, you know, they're not sleeping well, they're waking up with headaches, they're grinding teeth, they're breaking teeth. And there's a really fine line. Insurance companies, some will say, we will pay 50% of a night guard that's for grinding your teeth. Well, if they're having jaw pain, that brings it into another category, so they might not pay for anything. The other insurance companies will say night guards are excluded procedures. And why are they excluded procedures? Ask your insurance company. I don't know. That's what the policy says, that this procedure is excluded. And there's no explanation of why, but they're allowed to set those rules. And so there's a lot of governance from the insurance companies, but the insurance companies on the dental side there's not as much governance from the government on them. Whereas with medicine, there are, you know, we got a huge break a few years ago, whether you like it or not, with Obamacare, because pre-existing conditions and whatnot started getting covered. Dentistry, they didn't fall under the same category. So a lot of those things are different. And once again, the biggest difference is the annual amounts versus the premium. And so it's really, in my opinion, dental insurance is a lot like a discount plan, you know? And, you know, people say, well, what insurance company is better than the other? I can't say that. I don't know. I mean, you really just have to look at your policy and, you know, find out, you know, the antics of your policy and ask the office that you're going to help you decipher your policy, because that's what we do a lot of days, just decipher the policies.
Yeah, and I guess that's why you have to have this staff, right? Because, the worst part is, I mean, mouth pain sucks.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that with me here shortly. But the worst part is you have somebody sitting in the chair, right?
Right.
And they say, Doc, I mean, this hurts. Fix this.
Yep.
And you say, okay, I can do this, but based off your plan, you know, it's going to cost you, you know, $10, but your plan's only going to cover $5. So you're going to have to pay $5. And this person's sitting there and they're saying, why are you doing this to me? Can't you just fix me right now? And obviously I'm shaving off, you know, the decimal points, right? Because it could be, this is a $500 problem.
Well,
and, you know, your insurance company is going to pay $50. But this poor person sitting in the chair and mouth pain sucks.
Yeah.
And you've known me long enough and you've known the mouth pain I've went through.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, what you do, it's a lot of work. I mean, it can take up your whole day trying to solve this, and you've got bills to pay. You've got electric bills and, you know, with car payments and all that. But people are saying, well, yeah, but I go to the doctor and I pay a $20 copay and I walk away and I don't have any pain.
So it's funny that you say that, because here's true story. Last week, patient came into our practice. They came in all prepared. They had their insurance paperwork. And they knew that we weren't assigning, we don't partner with any insurance companies, because we don't want the insurance company to dictate the best treatment for the patient.
So, which they shouldn't.
No, they shouldn't. But, you know, the thing is that it's a little bit more frustrating if I say, well, this is the best, in my opinion, for your teeth, but your insurance doesn't allow this, so I'm going to do that. So I just put all that out, and so I just said, I tell the patient what's best for them, and it's up to them to decide. So they already knew that we didn't partner with any insurance companies or assign to any other policies. So this patient comes in, has all of her paperwork. She's got a broken tooth. She looks at me and she says, you know, what do I need done? And I said, well, you need this, this, and this. Okay, well, let's go ahead and do it, because this is driving me nuts and I've got to fix it and I've got to go to work and I've got to smile and I, you know, it's a front tooth. I can't do that. Okay. Well, let's do that. Well, fortunately, while I'm back there diagnosing the patient, my team's looking over her paperwork. And our insurance coordinator comes in and says, I need to talk to the patient first. And she says, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but yes, you have dental insurance, but you have a DMO, which means that that patient is assigned to a dental office. And they can't go anywhere other than that assigned dental office per this plan. So we're like, you need this, this, and this. And this is how much it's going to cost, but your insurance is going to pay zero of this. And the patient looks at us and says, well, is there any exception to that rule? And the answer, 9 times out of 10, is unfortunately no. I mean, we can write them letters till we're blue in the face and we're happy to, but ultimately it's up to the patient to pay for that. We weren't there when they signed up for their insurance policy. This is a brand new patient to us. So we just try and be as nice and as understanding as possible. And, you know, one of the things that you said earlier just kind of hits home, because the patient finally just says, well, you know what? I'm here. I have a good feeling about this place and I trust you all. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And she goes, and then after that, I'll figure out what's next. Okay, great. So we went ahead and we fixed her tooth. She's happy as can be. She leaves. So today I'm in the office and she calls back. She broke another tooth. And
Different tooth.
And so get on there and say, hey, you know, don't want to have to rehash all this with you again, but just want you to understand, we're happy to fix it, but remember your insurance company doesn't come here. She says, I'll deal with that later. I'll sign up for a new insurance policy when the renewal period comes about. She's like, but once again, I feel confident, trust your office. I'm just going to come in and pay cash for it. So we're very congenial and we do offer cash discounts and whatnot, and we try and do the best that we can. But, you know, it's really important for patients to understand their insurance policy. And sometimes, you know, like PPO, you can go out of network, you're going to pay out of network fees. HMO and DMO, you usually have to stay in network, and sometimes you're assigned to a dental office that has to complete your care.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
No one outside of medical field or insurance understands insurance.
No. I don't even understand insurance, and I don't think my team understands insurance. I mean, the calls I hear on a daily basis, I don't even know if the people that work for the insurance company sometimes understand
insurance. You know, I look at it, I mean, and of course, you know my father.
Yeah.
You know, he understood that a portion of his paycheck got removed that paid for insurance. Yep. And everything was taken care of, and beyond maybe that, there was a little bit of a deductible or whatever. Doesn't work that way anymore.
No.
I mean, and it really sucks. So somebody coming to it, the doctor, the dentist, or whatever, they say, well, wait, I have insurance for this.
Yeah.
Like, hey, doc, I have dental insurance. Why isn't this covered?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here in pain, or I have a broken tooth, or I have this, that, and the other, and it's not covered. And people get extremely frustrated. And I know you have to go through a lot of that in the practice.
Yeah, we do. But, you know, fortunately, we have several checkpoints in the practice. You know, I mean, that's one of the very first things that we discuss with people is insurance. So,
but let's be honest.
Yeah.
Doesn't that suck that you have to do that versus let me actually try to take care of you? Let's talk about the business portion of this. Let's talk about the money portion of this versus let's actually talk to you about how to get you well.
Yeah. No, and that it does suck, you know, but unfortunately, insurance or not, I think that you're still, if somebody doesn't have insurance, they're still going to cost analyze it, you know? And I've learned a lot of things in life, and it was, you know, it goes back to this afternoon. A lot of things in life are, you don't go with the cheapest. I mean, I've had that happen with car repairs. I've had that happen with home repairs. And then, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, why did I have this person do it? Or why did I have that person do it? Or why did I do this?
Or so, you do it yourself you realize it costs you more.
Exactly. And so that's something that I've learned in my practice. And it took me a while, is that I'm never going to, you know, I'll gladly offer somebody a discount if they can't afford it. I've got a kind heart. I feel that we've got a giving heart. My business partner does mission trips all over the world. So, I mean, we give a lot. We give discounts a lot. We discount, we sell ourselves short on a lot of things. But I'll never, you know, I'll never sit there and I'll always back my fees, you know, because in the end, whether it's a dental practice or not, yes, I do make a decent living. I'm not going to lie about that, but I've got a family to feed too. And, you know,
But once again, you should make a decent living.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally do not want to go to the doctor or the dentist or the optometrist or any other doctor and say, oh, you're driving a 95 Honda Civic about to fall apart.
Yeah.
Like I want to go to the doctor that is pulling up in the Lamborghini and saying,
"Did you see my new Lamborghini?"
Yes, I did.
The lime green one in the parking lot.
It looks like a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
But I don't want my doctor to be struggling.
Yeah.
No. You know, and I get that, and I think there's a lot of people that think, oh, well, why should I pay this much? Why should my doctor be driving a Bentley or whatever? No, literally, I want my doctor to have the best car, the best house, the best everything, because I want him to be calm with everything else in his life.
Yeah.
To focus on me, to not worry about, can I pay my electric bill this month?
You're absolutely right. And the thing is that there's a huge shift.
And now make a speech, because I'm going to go get us another beer. Yeah,
okay, so there's a huge shift in my opinion, in most every dentist life, is that, you know, when you graduate from dental school, and a lot of these people, you'll see this, you've got to realize that, you know, I never want to push anybody to do the work. I want to be comfortable enough that I have enough people that have agreed to do the work that I'm able to make a nice living. But I feel very blessed in the fact that everybody that walks through the door, I can tell them what they need, and it's their choice to decide whether they do it or not. And so I never want to ever push anybody into a modality of treatment. I can offer them suggestions. I can offer them advice. I can tell them about my past track record with this type of treatment. My patients hopefully know me well enough that when I say you need something, you need something. And, you know, if I tell somebody, well, you could do this, you know, if we're talking cosmetic, aesthetic, something that's not really necessary, you know, I don't ever say, oh, yeah, you absolutely need those veneers. That's something that you definitely need. And you know what? I'm going to give you a treatment plan. You've got to sign off on it. Let's start tomorrow. No.
Yeah.
That's something that they've got to come to the realization. So I feel that, you know, one of the things that we do is like, hey, here's the cost of veneers. Here's the cost of the elective treatment. If you want to do it, great. If you decide not to do it, you can still come here. I don't care. You know, Invisalign. If you want to do Invisalign, fantastic. That's awesome. If you decide that you don't want to, then that's fine. But if I notice that you not doing Invisalign or you not doing those crowns or that night guard or that sleep device, that's going to affect your quality of life, then I'm going to tell you, you need to do that. And I'm going to be adamant about that. And I'm going to stress it to you every time that you're here, you know? And so I think that's one of the things, is that I would love for every person to do their treatment with me. But, you know, today I did a couple of second opinions and I validated the treatment concerns of the other dentist. And they said, hey, do you think I need all this work? And I said, yeah, I think that you do. And they said, all right, well, you know, what are your fees? Here are my fees. And then, you know, my stock and trade answer is, hey, we'd love to have you as a patient in our practice. But if you choose to do it the other place, their treatment plan is just fine. You do where you feel the most comfortable. And, you know, that's a feeling that you get when you walk into a place. Do you feel comfortable here? I mean, I think we've all been, I've been to medical offices where I walk in and I'm like, man, I don't know about this. You know, I don't know. Just, you get that weird feeling. I don't ever want them to have that weird feeling in my office. And if they did, then I'm fine with them going somewhere else. But, you know, fortunately they don't, you know, for the most part. And, you know?
Sure.
I want them to go where they feel the most comfortable.
Yeah. So let's go from, you know, the beginning of life forward. So one of the questions I got from a couple of people is kids.
Yeah. Right?
And I know you're not a pediatric dentist.
I see a lot of kids. Yeah.
But I know you do, but there's been this push of let's cap baby teeth. Let's this stuff with baby teeth and you go to a pediatric dentist and tell us the truth. Is that BS?
You know, I think with every profession, there's going to be honest people and there's going to be dishonest people. And I would say that as a whole, dentistry has a hell of a lot more honest people than dishonest people. I choose the specialist that I refer to based upon my relationship with the specialist and the way that they treat our patients. And I think that those two things go hand in hand because obviously if I don't have a good relationship with them, then I'm really not going to give them the chance to see our patients because I don't know that their personality is going to suit the personality that works in our office. I've seen some kids that have crowns on every single one of their teeth and it really, really breaks my heart. And you know, a lot of times when you see something like that, I would say it's probably an insurance driven thing. Now, did the child have decay? Well, I didn't see the child before they had crowns in their teeth. I'd hope they did. But the treatment for a pediatric tooth that has a vast amount of decay, one of the most standard treatments is to put a stainless steel crown on it, or now they make them with a little white coloring on them. So yes, they do serve a purpose in dentistry. When I see a kid with them on every single tooth in their mouth, I never could, but I'd love to see their x-rays prior to see if it was necessary. It's not bad treatment. It certainly fills a void, but I do think that in some instances, like everything else, it can be excessive treatment, you know? And I have seen some kids in the past that have multiple stainless steel crowns, and I'm like, oh man, why did you do this? Or why did this have to happen? Good news is that for lack of a better term, baby teeth are disposable. You know, right. They go bye-bye at a certain point in time. And so, you know, I've always got this gray area when a child is about to the age of exfoliation or losing their baby teeth. There'll be a lot of times where I'm like, okay, I just want you to know, mom, that tooth number such and such has decay on it, but little Johnny's about to lose this tooth. So if for some chance you were to go to another dentist in the next 3 months and they told you that there's a cavity on this tooth, yes, I saw it. No, it's not detrimental to the tooth. If it starts hurting, of course, call me. But I have a hard time with you spending all this money on this treatment on this tooth that's not hurting little Johnny, that little Johnny's going to lose in my guesstimation within the next 6 months. So yeah, they do serve a purpose, but I do think it is maybe in some instances an overutilized procedure.
No.
So
and does that kind of go back to the insurance deal of, hey, here's an easy check to collect? I mean, I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but
possibly. So I think that several years ago there was a rumor of some fraudulent activity going on amongst certain dentists, and fortunately those dentists were punished for those actions. I haven't seen a lot of stainless steel crowns and over the past several years. I think that's just because there's better treatment material. But to be honest with you, if a child comes in, they're a young child, they have a lot of dental work that needs to be done, I'm 9 times out of 10 sending them to a pediatric dentist. If they come in, they got a pretty clean mouth, I want them to come to me. You know, if they have bad behavior or questionable behavior, I send them to a pediatric dentist. And I always tell the parents, I call it the yo-yo effect. I'm sending you here. I want little Johnny or little Susie to get their teeth taken care of by the pediatric dentist. And that's just because they have a couple of extra tools that can make their trip more pleasant. And if their trip sucks, I want them to remember that office and not my office.
That makes total sense. Yeah. I totally get that. So what about mail order dentistry.
Oh man, you're gonna get me started on that.
Yeah, so. You know, you say, "Hey, I can order this deal off the internet."
Yeah,
fix my teeth,
whatever. Yeah, yeah.
What's your take on that, Doc?
You know, when I first got out of dental school, we're gonna go back. You know, bleaching is very, very popular, and. You know, if you ever go to, I know you'll relate to this, but some of your viewers won't. I'm going to say Grapevine Mills, which is, you know, a popular mall. You walk in there and there's a bleaching station in the mall where they're making bleaching trays for people or they're doing bleaching within the mall. And I think that was our first broach upon quote unquote mail order dentistry. Although it wasn't mail order, we have people that aren't licensed dentists that are bleaching teeth. So my biggest concern was is that bleach is usually something that's hydrogen peroxide or carbamide peroxide. It can be detrimental to the teeth if they do have decay. And so I was really concerned about it. Here I am, a young dentist out of the school. It's like safety patrol, man. I mean, I'm asking the state board, is this legal? Is this ethical? And they're like, well, we really have no control over it. So then you saw those bleaching centers kind of die down. I kind of said, forget about it. You know, just let it go because there's nothing I can do to change it. I can complain, but what's going to happen? Well, then fast forward, and I think what really bothered me and a lot of dentists is mail order aligners, which means that here these patients are that are coming in. They're sending in their own impressions. They're getting their teeth straightened. The only thing I can tell you is that will you get straight teeth? And the answer is probably. Are you creating problems? Possibly. Because the questions you need to ask is, do they have x-rays? Do they have a dentist that examines this treatment? What's their protocol for moving teeth? Because you're moving teeth that are in bone. If they've got disease, if they've got decay, if they've got bone loss, that could be potentially detrimental. And I'll tell you that I have one lady who's a very educated lady that comes to see me. She's fantastic. She decided to go with mail order aligners, and she's probably going to lose her lower four anterior teeth. Did her teeth get straight? Yes, her teeth got straight. But the problem is that there was no dental examination. I certainly didn't sign off on it. I don't know who signed off on it, if anybody signed off on it, but she had bone loss to the extent that her teeth were not candidates for any sort of aligner movement. So there's a number of factors that go in there. And I think that in some instances, I had a patient yesterday that came in and he says, give me one good reason that I shouldn't do mail order aligners. And the only good reason that I could give him is because it's not doctor supervised. He's got good bone levels. He's got straight teeth. But the facts are is that ethically, I can't sign off on it. If somebody comes to me and says, I want this patient to get a sign-off from a dentist to go get mail-order aligners, I'm not going to do it. He's going to have to find somebody else that will, because that's something that I feel strongly about. That's a procedure that should be done in the dental office. You're moving teeth. You're changing the permanent position of the teeth. I think that's something that needs to be followed by a dentist for your health. And, you know, have I moved teeth into a bad position? Hopefully not, but it could happen to any dentist. But still, I think you need to be under the watchful eye and supervision of a dentist. And so there is a lot of dispute, and I think there's minimal that the powers that be can do, but it's a very, very big topic in dentistry right now is mail order aligners and bleaching. You know, that can be damaging. There's mail order liners, there's mail order bleaching, and then there's mail order night guards now. And so I just think that sometimes we're not treating the underlying cause, and that's what we need to do. We need to treat the underlying cause and manage the underlying conditions.
Gotcha. So, no, makes sense. So you're obviously an expert in your field, and hopefully everybody's gathered that. So let's
I hope that
let's talk that. About my story.
Yeah, sure.
And so the reason I brought you on, I mean, Dr. Duplantis, he's my dentist. And I told him before we got started that you're free to talk about what happened with me.
Yeah.
So let's walk me through what you saw with what happened with my mouth.
Yeah, so...
Because let's be honest, my case was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
you a were, little bit, right?
Very, very,
a
very,
little bit,
very, very much so.
Okay,
and so you know, Max, been patient for years, and I think that Max was probably just more genetically predisposed to certain tooth anomalies than other people, and. Max just was dealt a, you know, you were dealt a bad set of cards, I guess, with teeth, you know? And so, you know, we saw some detrimental decay that was resilient to traditional treatment. And, you know, I'll let you tell them what we ended up doing to your teeth. So,
well, well, I'll give the layman's version. Right, yeah. Hey, but you're the doctor, yeah. Right? So you got to fill in the
I'll
doctor.
Let you walk me into it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I remember coming to you and saying, yeah. "Hey, you know, my teeth are hurting.
Yeah,
you know, I my mean, mouth
your teeth were all hurting. Yeah,
yeah, my mouth is hurting. I had chipped teeth. I had all kinds of stuff. No matter what I did, I couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
And I kept coming to you, and yeah, we tried our best to. Get my teeth right.
Yeah.
And then you basically said, you know, after lots of fillings, lots of years yeah. and everything, you said, you know what? We got a punt.
Yeah. And so we got a consult with a couple of surgeons to validate our treatment decisions. And, you know, to this day, I will always say this, you know, how old were you at the time? It's fair, it's safe for me to say at 38?
Late, yeah, 38, 39, yeah, somewhere so, in there.
You know, imagine
a few years ago.
The heartache that I felt telling a 38, 39-year-old, man, I don't know if there's anything else that we can do that's going to salvage these teeth. I mean, we had a number of problems. So we ended up...
But maybe you should back up that there are people like me that... literally went through a problem that genetically whatever that
absolutely
there's just you know it falls apart.
I know the household you were raised in too. It's not a lack of care, concern or whatever, but people are just genetically predisposed to certain dental conditions. So here we are, Max, trying to figure out what we're going to do. We went through a number of treatment options, and we landed on extractions and implant placement. And the beauty of it is that I feel, and hopefully you'll confirm this feeling, that what we ended up doing is placing implants, and your teeth are fixated by those implants, meaning that you can't take them out, but I can. And I feel that they've got a real natural appeal, and it gives you more confidence that you had... than you had prior to with your other set of teeth and less pain.
Well, I would go with the less pain being zero pain.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's that, yeah. There's no pain. I remember being in Amarillo, Texas, and actually after that trip, I came and saw you because I bit into a soft taco, and this was when I had my natural teeth, and... the tooth broke in a soft taco.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the bathroom and I had the piece of the tooth.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I snapped that back in my mouth. And then I went and I came and saw you and I said, I snapped this piece. Can you just put some caulk or whatever and keep this? And that's when you said, Max, look, we've done everything we can do. That genetic part, like your teeth are that bad. You've got to just, you know, walk away and say, yeah, it's not going to happen. Of course, my mother, she had her teeth removed when she was like 22, 23, something like that. And she's had the traditional dentures for years. And I always thought about that, and I said, I don't want that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Then we went through all trying to make everything work correctly, but it never would. And then you said, okay, let's set up the appointment. Let's just go ahead and fix this.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that, you know, the day that you went in to have your teeth removed, what was remaining of your teeth removed, and, you know, you went through a period of wearing a denture for a while, you know, and, you know, when we went through that phase, I was like, okay, this is a young professional. I have got to get him looking better than he did, but age appropriate. And I still look back at those pictures, and we did a lot of planning and a lot of prep work, and we had two sets for that day, and we nailed it. And it's not just me, it's because we worked with a great surgeon, we worked with a great lab, and we put a lot of time and effort and energy into planning it. I remember going to that surgery that morning and just being like, oh man, make this look good.
Back up, because you went to that surgery that morning and said, I brought donuts for everybody, you can't have one.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
So let's not forget about that part.
Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, you could have had one afterwards, but yeah, I mean, you know, I think that it was a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, and I think we ended up with a really, I want to say a great result. But in the end, we lost a lot, but I think we gained a lot too. And then, you know, we went through the planning process and we had some hiccups along the way. The prepping process after that, it was still a long process, 6 months or so. Still had some hiccups along the way there. But in the end, you know, I walked in today and hadn't seen you in a while. You're talking well. You're functioning well. Your teeth still look good. You're obviously chewing and able to drink beer. So we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will tell you, my wife keeps telling me I make a face.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because even though you did a fantastic job and everything, she still says I make a face. And I said, well, call Chad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's his fault.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's funny.
Well, you know? I remember for so many years. To be quite honest with you, for so many years, I would never smile in a picture. Yeah. I would never do any of that. And now I'm not ashamed to show my teeth.
I appreciate that.
And you are the reason I can actually smile in a picture. But I also remember you asked me to smile in a picture because you were trying to take that picture. Yeah. And you said, oh, that's creepy. You know, don't smile that way. And I'm like, I don't know how to smile.
That's exactly what you told me. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. I don't know how to smile. It's like George Washington, right? You know, everybody says he had wooden teeth, which he didn't. But he was trying to hide the fact that he was embarrassed of his teeth. And there are so many people that are embarrassed of the way their teeth look. And I was that person for almost 40 years. And I know you've helped so many people not be embarrassed.
I appreciate that.
By the way their teeth look.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I tell you, it's not just me, it's a team. And I feel that I try and keep the best team members. And I'm not just talking my initial team is great. But the people that I try to work with outside the office are great too.
Yeah. Yeah. So just want everybody to know we're going to shut this off. And if you want dentistry done, you're in North Texas, look up Chad. You know, I probably didn't even tell you, we're actually videoing this.
Well, I haven't been looking at the camera, I'm looking at you. I didn't know that was just for whatever, so,
yeah.
Hey, everybody. But no, what I will say is this.
I got to admit to you, Doc, what you did for me, it meant a lot.
Thank you.
It really did, and I appreciate all the work that you did. It wasn't cheap. But It took care of the fact. Cheers. It took care of the fact that I can smile in a picture. I don't have to worry about why does my mouth hurt. I remember years ago, my wife will tell you, I would hop in the car and I would go to QT and I would buy the slushy things and just put something in my mouth.
So your teeth didn't hurt?
To get all of the swelling and everything going away. And like I told you about when I was in Amarillo, my teeth busted. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And it's amazing when you don't have to worry about that pain in your mouth, what you can do later on.
I appreciate that. I really do. And, you know, what I want to offer to your guest or whatever is that, you know, beyond this conversation, if we hit upon something, with all the stuff, I was going to say crap that y'all talk about, but y'all talk about good stuff. But
yeah, you can say crap.
But with all the stuff that you all talk about, dentistry's probably pretty boring. I hope it wasn't terribly boring tonight. But if anybody has any questions, they're welcome to email me, find me on social media. You know, I'm happy to answer questions, and I mean that. So if anybody has a question, email me. You know, you can post it, drduplantis@gmail.com.
Well, yeah, you're acting like you actually listen to the podcast, because I was about to say, how can people find you and all that good stuff? But we're sitting here drinking beer, so now it's your, you know, 30-second to 1-minute commercial, because seriously, everybody, he's a fantastic dentist. He's been a good friend over the years. I really appreciate the friendship from him and what he's done for me and several other people I know. So seriously, reach out to him, but please tell everybody how they can reach out to you.
You know, I mean this. If you have a question about dentistry, feel free to email me, Dr. Duplantis, DrDuplantis at gmail.com. Our website is Fossil Creek Dental, fossil, like a fossil, FOSSIL, Creek, CREEK, dental, DENTAL.com. And even if you're somewhere, and even if it's here, and you need a dental referral, I would be happy to help point you in the right direction and give you a network where you can find a dentist wherever you are. So whatever, in whatever capacity I can help, I'm happy to help. I'm here.
Yeah. So thanks, Doc. I appreciate it. Bye. And by the way, what other dentist would just show up and hang out with you and
you had talk Yingling? So I'm good.
There is that, but seriously, Dr. Duplantis has been a great friend and a great person. He knows his stuff. So please reach out to him, especially in the DFW area. But even outside of that, I'm sure he's got friends outside the DFW area he could point you to. And with all that said, thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.